Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Everyone faces the end of life. Someone has said, we're all born with an expiration date. Whether rich or poor, king or peasant, none of us can avoid dealing with what happens after that certain day. But there is a hope that you and I can be forever alive. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Pastor, today we begin your last message on the vanishing power of death. What are your thoughts as Resurrection Sunday lies ahead?
Dave, I'm going to give a very personal answer to your question. When I think of Resurrection Sunday, I'm always reminded of the opportunity that I have had to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to a full church and to proclaim the resurrection of Christ, the absolute triumph of Christ over death, in which we are invited to participate. I know of no privilege I've had that is greater than that. Well, this is the second to last day we are making available for you a book entitled The Vanishing Power of Death. The subtitle is Conquering Your Greatest Fear. And I wrote this book to help people to understand not only that Jesus triumphed over death, but to use various passages of Scripture, various instances and examples of how we can face death. For a gift of any amount, we're making it available. And of course, this is Easter week, and we think of the triumph of Jesus. Here's what you can do. Go to rtwoffer.com. That's rtwoffer.com, or pick up the phone and call us at 1-888-218-9337. Let us always be reminded of the vanishing power of death. I think that everybody ought to stroll through a cemetery at some time. I personally like to do it because I love to see what is written on the tombstones. I'm told that in Indiana there's a tombstone with this poem, and let's see if I can quote it. The poem goes, "Pause, stranger, as you pass me by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. So prepare for death and follow me." Underneath someone scrawled, "To follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went." There is a story about a man by the name of Harold Bundy. Harold Bundy loved to read the obituary every morning. He'd get his cup of coffee, open the newspapers to the obituaries and read them, and his friends knew it. So they conspired with the newspaper to put his obituary in the newspaper. Well, you can imagine how startled he was. He's reading the newspaper, and there he sees himself. He's almost shook, and he doesn't know what to do, so he calls his friend Tom and says, "Tom, do you have a newspaper?" "Yeah, I have a newspaper." "Turn to the page of the obituaries." "Okay, I'm there." "Tom, what do you see on the second column?" "Harold, Harold, it's you." And then Tom's voice goes to a whisper, "Harold, Harold, tell me where you are calling from." Well, death can be both fantastic, interesting, but it is also fearful. The Bible calls death the last enemy, and it's the last enemy, and it's the biggest enemy, and thank God Jesus destroyed it, didn't he? When the women came to the tomb that Sunday morning, they noticed that it was empty. And instead of finding a dead Christ, they found a living Christ, and they were able to connect with him, talk with him, and eventually even touch him. He was the real deal, and he proved it. You know, the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it is the most extensive discussion of the resurrection in all the Bible. In fact, an entire chapter is devoted to it.
If you have your copy of God's Word, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But if you forgot to bring your Bible, in the seat in front of you, you'll notice a Bible, and it's page 961. 961, where Paul goes into detail about the resurrection. And what we're going to discover here today about ourselves is going to be transforming. I don't see how we can leave here today the way in which we came in once we begin to understand what Paul has to say about our future, our future. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried, he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and he appeared to Cephas," that's to Peter, "and then to the 12. Notice this. "Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive." Do you understand what Paul is saying? He's speaking about the fact of the resurrection. He says that Jesus didn't just appear to the disciples. He didn't just give individual appearances, though he did do that, but at one time he appeared to 500 people, most of whom are living. So you skeptics out there, you go and you ask them what they saw and see whether or not they saw the risen Christ. Paul is talking about the fact of the resurrection. But also you'll notice that he goes on to talk about the necessity of the resurrection. I'm going to skip to verse 14. "And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith is vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified that he raised Christ from the dead." Verse 17, "And if Christ is not raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep," that is those who have died in Christ, "they're perished, they're gone. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of people most to be pitied." If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, pity us, because we're banking everything on it. We're banking our future on it. Is it possible to be a Christian and disbelieve in the physical resurrection of Jesus? No, it is not. Oh, you say, oh, yes, it's possible because of the teachings of Jesus, but it's not the teachings that redeemed us, however good those teachings are. It is his death and his resurrection and his triumph over death. Sometimes you meet people who say, well, you know, I'm just interested in Jesus Christ's spirit. He just arose spiritually. If Jesus just arose spiritually, redemption is not completed. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches that your body is just as important as your soul to the whole question of your personal identity and who you are. Your body is as important as your soul. And Jesus redeemed us body, soul, and spirit. He had to rise physically. The body that was put in the tomb is the one that was raised that Sunday morning. Oh, you say, but what about the people who are in heaven today? They are conscious and they don't have their bodies yet, and that's right, but they are incomplete, the scripture says. For the time being, their soul takes on some of the characteristics of the body so that they can communicate, but they are all looking forward to the day of resurrection when redemption is final. Now, in this chapter, Paul was talking to some skeptics, particularly because of Greek philosophy. We won't go into the details, but there were people who were saying this: we don't believe that God is going to raise anybody from the dead, because there's some philosophical questions with it. And if I could put those questions in contemporary language, a soldier dies on the battlefield, his body decomposes, and it becomes part of the earth, and it helps some grass to grow, and a cow comes along and eats the grass, and then we go to McDonald's and eat the cow. And the question is, where is this body that you're talking about? It has disappeared. And then there are some people who are cremated, and their ashes, of course, become a very small part of who they were. And their ashes are there, but their body is who knows where in the cosmos. Now notice that Paul is asking these questions and answering them for those who have no knowledge of God, he says in the last part of verse 34. And then he says in verse 35, someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of a body do they come? And it's these skeptics that are asking that. And so Paul answers them in verse 36 and says, you foolish person. That's rather strong. It's unlike Paul, but sometimes you have to say that to somebody. What Paul is saying is this. Cut out your cynicism as to what you think God can or can't do. If God created the worlds in a moment of time just by speaking the word, why can't God reconstruct whatever elements he wants from people's bodies, no matter where those molecules have gone? Why can't God reconstruct it the way in which he wants to and raise it from the dead? Don't question God's ability to do miraculous things. And then the Apostle Paul says this in the rest of the text. He says, in fact, there are some illustrations of resurrection already in nature. Now notice he picks it up there and he says in verse 37, and now what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. Paul is saying this, when you put a seed into the ground, you put a seed into the ground and what happens is it grows, but what that growth is very unlike the seed. There is continuity, but you'd never notice a direct resemblance. When I was born on the farm, my mother used to always order seeds, or she used to buy them. Those little packets of seeds, and we as kids used to shake them in the package with lovely pictures on the side of the package. Now, if you had never seen a flower, you'd never seen one, and you were given one of these little seeds, and you were told that this little seed was going to be put in the ground, do you have any idea? Could you draw a picture of what it was going to look like after it had been in the ground for a while? Of course you couldn't. No way could you understand that. In the very same way, the Bible says we don't understand the resurrection body, but we'd all admit that there is continuity. There is something in that seed that is now in this glorified body, but we can't even get our minds around what that glorified body is like. Now, Jesus had a glorified body after the resurrection, and the reason that this is important is it says we shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him. In fact, I read it this morning, the Apostle Paul says, God is going to take this lowly body of ours and make it like unto his glorious body. Jesus Christ's body after the resurrection had continuity. The disciples were able to see the marks in his hands and the place where the sword was put in his side. They could still see that. So there was continuity. But believe me, there was so much difference that when he failed to reveal himself, they never even recognized him. He had to veil his glory and then he had to reveal himself to them so that they'd understand who he was, because the transformation was so amazing and so complete. So Paul says there is continuity. The body is put into the ground, and that which will come up will have some similarities, but it will also be totally different. And that's where you get now to the contrasts. The continuity, the contrasts. He says in verse 38, but God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For all flesh is not the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, another for fish. There are heavenly bodies, earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is one kind and the glory of the earthly is the other. What Paul is saying is there are different realms. There are different realms, and there's the realm of humans, there's the realm of animals, and God has created these different species to work in their different realms, and there is no crossover. No matter how many times you eat at Kentucky Fried Chicken, by the way, you'll never grow a feather because you are a human being. And so there are, there are animals and humans. And when humans want to go up to the sky, when they want to go into space, they can't just go in their tennis shoes and jeans. They have to have special contraptions to help them navigate this new kind of atmosphere or lack of it. So Paul is saying, just like the earth is different, the sky is different. It exists in a different realm. Think of how different a flower is from the moon and the sun. In the very same way, Paul says that human beings, they are also different. The resurrected body has a different molecular structure. For example, Jesus was up in Galilee, and then he decided to be with his disciples in Jerusalem. And the Bible says that the doors were closed, and Jesus walked through closed doors. And he did it because he had his new resurrected body. A whole different realm, Paul says. And in the very same way, every body is going to have its own glory. Now I want you to think about yourself today, the body that you brought with you if you are here today at Moody Church, or the body with which you are listening, perhaps by radio, perhaps by internet, wherever you might be, that body. When you are raised from the dead, it's not as if somebody else's soul is going to be in your body or as if your soul is going to be in somebody else's body. No, no, no. The real you, body, soul, and spirit, with all of your memories, with all of your remembrance of your attachments, that's the you that is going to be resurrected someday. But you're going to have your own glory, and you're going to be distinct from me, and I'm going to be distinct from you, and all the millions of people in heaven are going to have their own distinctiveness, Paul says. So he says there is continuity between the body that dies, but there are also contrasts. And then he says there will be change. Notice this in verse 42. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. And isn't it true that what is sown is perishable? The minute you and I are born, we begin to die. We are born with an expiration date. Our shelf life isn't that long. All that you need to do is to walk through a funeral home, and sometimes I'm amazed at the creative ways in which people have died. And they die young, and they die old, and they die at different times of their life, and they die when it's expected and when it's not expected. And so the scripture says that we have a perishable body, but it's going to be raised imperishable, totally indestructible. The body that you brought with you today cannot withstand the vicissitudes of eternity. The body that you will have someday will be able to take on eternity and never flinch, because it will be an indestructible body forever. Imagine that. Dr. Hinson, before he died of cancer, said, "The stars shall live for a million years and a day, but the Lord and I will live together when the stars have passed away." Just think of that. It is sown, Paul says, a perishable body, but it is raised imperishable. He says it is sown in dishonor, verse 43, but it is raised in glory. When somebody dies, you put a shroud over them, a blanket over them. You cover them because you want to shield their body from the stares of others, because the body is in dishonor. And that's the way in which it is buried. It is buried in dishonor. But the scripture says it is raised in glory. Just imagine that. And this glory is so great that there are no limitations. There's no such thing as someone in heaven with a disability. You say, well, what about infants? Well, there's evidence that infants are going to be adults. God is going to give them a body like they would have had if they had been full grown. Because when you read the book of Revelation, you find that everyone is praising God. Everyone is serving God. So any kinds of limitations that might be brought upon an infant will be gone because of the perfections and the glories of heaven. It will be a glorious body. Glorious. You'll notice also it is sown in weakness, Paul says. It is raised in power. Now imagine this. You and I get tired. We need to sleep. The body of Jesus, though, and our body is going to be like his. The thought is the movement. When Jesus wanted to go from Galilee to Jerusalem, it isn't as if he says, well, you know, I need to pack a lunch. It's going to take me a long time, some dusty roads along the way. No, I want to be there. I am there. Imagine that. And for you workaholics, the Bible says there is no night in heaven. That means that it is continual day. You never have to sleep, because your body is indestructible and you are raised in power. Finally, he says it is sown a natural body. He says it is raised a spiritual body. When Paul says spiritual, don't misunderstand that. Hear me when I tell you that spiritual does not mean that we're going to be spirits. We're not going to be ghosts. You remember in Luke 24, when the disciples thought that Jesus was a ghost, when they were getting used to his new body, he says, come and handle me, because a spirit, that is to say a ghost, doesn't have flesh and bones. Come and feel me. And they felt him, and he was solid all over. He was the real deal. The resurrected body is a solid kind of body, even though it can move through space quickly. So what it means is that we are sown a natural body, but we are raised a spiritual body, in the sense that it's a body that can enter into heaven. Because the Bible says flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. You and I can't go to heaven today the way in which we are. We need a new body, an eternal body, one that belongs to heaven, and not one that is simply suited for a few years on earth. And so that's why the Apostle Paul ends by saying, he says, oh, death is swallowed up in victory. I'm in verse 55. Death, where is your victory, O grave? Where is your sting? I'm told, you know, that bees can only sting someone once. And after they've given up their stinger, that's the end of it. They can only threaten. To the Christian, death threatens. And in some sense can continue to be fearful. But at the end of the day, the Bible says, he who believes in me shall never die. He may die physically, but he will not die spiritually, Jesus said, because the resurrection triumphed over death. And the glory that awaits us can scarcely be imagined. But all of this leads to a number of different conclusions that are important. The first is this, that clearly death is not the end of the road. Death is actually just a bend in the road.
Isn't it wonderful to contemplate the future when we remember that we are received by God on behalf of Jesus Christ, who won a victory for us? We here at Running to Win exist to help you make it successfully all the way to the finish line. I've written a book entitled The Vanishing Power of Death, and this is the second to last day that we're making this book available for you. But before I give you info, I want to remind you that the ministry of Running to Win goes around the world. And we're so glad that we are in 50 different countries in 7 different languages. I'm holding in my hands a letter from someone who said, I thought I was a Muslim, but after listening to Running to Win, I was eager to read the Bible. After reading it, my mind was blown away and my heart changed. I want to know more. Even as you connect with us, thank you so much for helping us get the gospel of Jesus Christ into many different countries and in so many different languages. And we do that because we want to proclaim the triumph of our Savior to the world. Well, as I mentioned, I've written a book entitled The Vanishing Power of Death, and this is indeed the second to last day that we're making this resource available for you. Here's what you can do, and I hope that you have a pen or pencil handy. You can go to rtwoffer.com. That's rtwoffer.com. Or pick up the phone and call us at 1-888-218-9337. In a world that has so many discouraging headlines, with terror around the world, with uncertainty, isn't it wonderful that we can come back to the knowledge that Jesus Christ has triumphed? And if we believe in him, we participate in that triumph? Ask for the book, The Vanishing Power of Death. At the end, death will have no power over us, and we shall reign with our King, our resurrected King, forever.
You can write to us at Running to Win, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is all about helping you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul wrote about the resurrection of Jesus and why it's our great hope. That's because those who believe in him will also be raised from the dead and given new bodies for all eternity. Next time, we conclude our series on the vanishing power of death. Thanks for listening. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.